Macmillan Audio presents Killing Crazy Horse by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Dugard. Narrated for you by Robert Petkoff, with an introduction from the author.
This book is dedicated to Makita Wubna, my assistant for 27 years. There is no finer human being around. Author's note, writing a book of history about Native Americans is an arduous task. There were literally thousands of tribes throughout North America, more than 500 of which still exist. In this book, we use the terms Indians and Native Americans interchangeably, as has been done historically. We realize each tribe is unique and has its own culture. We are respectful of that and have tried to deal with it accurately. Prologue. August 30th, 1813, Fort Mims, Alabama, 11 a.m. The Creek Nation is out for blood. The red-painted bodies of hundreds of warriors are pressed into the earth, awaiting the signal to attack. These men have hidden since sunrise, intending to kill every person they can. They conceal themselves in a valley 400 yards outside the new log walls surrounding the sprawling plantation of Samuel Mims. More than 600 men, women, and children live inside the month-old fort, located 35 miles north of Mobile. They are comprised of white settlers, Negro slaves, and mixed-race Indians who have adopted white ways. Almost all of them have just hours to live. The Indian force numbers somewhere between 700 and 1,000. Some are not Native American at all, but African slaves who have escaped and joined the Creeks. The warriors are naked, save for a loincloth to which a red-painted cow's tail has been tied at the back. Some wear an owl feather, believing it will give them improved vision. Each warrior has forced himself to drink a strong emetic that has made him vomit, again, in the belief that this will prevent infection if he is stabbed or shot. Every fighter is armed with a flintlock rifle as well as a bow and iron-tipped arrows. Their most lethal killing weapon is a 2-foot-long war stick carved from dense wood. Almost every man carries one. They have been trained countless hours with these war clubs and wield their cudgels with the same finesse shown by master swordsmen. Like the Indians' torsos, each club is painted red. The Creek warriors have waited days and marched in complete stealth for miles, determined to remain unseen and attack with complete surprise. They know the precise moment at which they will attack. They have studied the routines of the fort and are aware that the settlers gather each day for a noon meal. A dinner bell is a signal to come together. On this morning, the dinner bell, which signifies lunch, will also be the signal to attack. The Creeks struggle to remain motionless. Insects crawl over their prone bodies. Mosquitoes bite their hands and faces. Beads of sweat sting their eyes as the day grows warmer and the air more humid. The Creeks' intent is murder. However, their ultimate goal is survival, for they believe that only a mass slaughter will prevent intruders from stealing the Creek ancestral homeland. Just one more hour until the lunch bell clangs. Inside Fort Mims, a slave belonging to Josiah Fletcher is being tied to a whipping post. He is stripped to the waist. There is no shade here in the center of the fort, and sweat runs down the man's bare flesh. He hears the murmurs of the crowd gathering in a circle around the pole, eager to witness his suffering. The slave presses his body into the rough wood, his torso tense to absorb 100 lashes. Incredibly, the slave's only crime is telling the truth. Yesterday, while working outside the walls, he saw...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?